So Elodie is someone who attends Yorkson. She's a Yorksonite through and through. And we love Elodie. She's been a part of our community for a number of years now. And her primary work is through an organization called Power to Change. And I'll let you tell you a little bit more about kind of what you're doing and how God is using you as well. So appreciate you coming and sharing today.
Thanks, Jeff. It's nice to be here. As I paused and I was watching all these things, I just love Mission Sunday. As I was preparing, I had all these thoughts in mind, but as I was seeing people come up and share their stories and even hearing the Watt family doing the announcements and remembering how you shared a little bit during Christmas time, I was like, oh man, I want to hear a story. And there's different families from our community here, the Brink family too, who came back from Malawi. I just want to hear your story. And the stories are beautiful because it honestly points me back to God and what he's doing around the world. And so one of the other reasons I love Mission Sunday is to see this, the community. Jeff talked about it earlier about how we get to bring two things together, Mission Sunday and potluck, and I love potluck Sundays with the food. And it was mentioned a few times, but this is a picture for me of what heaven might be like. A picture of where every nation and every tribe and people language standing in front of the throne and we're praising God together. How beautiful is that? And so I imagine there'll probably be some of this food maybe up there, hopefully. And if you know me, I'm a bit of a foodie. And so I'm just looking forward to that. Since there are kids here, and adults can do it too, shout out. What's your favorite food?
Tacos.
Yeah. Mac and cheese, pizza, tacos, sushi, pierogies, yum.
Poutine.
J'aime poutine aussi. Thanks. Yeah, those all really sound yummy. Mine is Chinese food, and it sounds pretty like general, but it's not like, the ones that you find in a food court. It's like, real Chinese food, ones that my grandma would make at home. But as some of you may know, that we just celebrated Lunar New Year, and I miss celebrating this with my family who lives in Toronto, because during this time, we're usually invited to this like 10-course banquet meal. There's a picture, hopefully, if you've never been to one, where we're just sitting around a table, and there's a lazy Susan in the middle, and then servers will bring out like one course at a time. If you've never been to one and you're invited to one, my advice to you is just pace yourself because there's lots of food. And so, the only time I get to actually enjoy this is when I'm invited to this banquet to be with family and friends. And so if you ever have an open seat, you're having a banquet, you can always invite me. I'll always be available for that. And so the Bible talks about a wedding feast, and in Revelation 19:9 it says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." And I know I'll be enjoying this feast one day because I'm seated with Christ, says that in Ephesians 2:6. And because someone invited me and told me about Jesus, and I've accepted God's invitation to be in relationship with him. And while we'll be diving into Romans 10 today, where it talks about bringing the good news, I want you to think about the word invitation. What is Jesus' invitation to you today? And what is his invitation to those around you? First, we will take a look at the why. Why share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? I think the why is an invitation to be in relationship and commune with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and also to invite others into this relationship with him. And then we'll look at some hows. It might kind of seem like a fire hose, kind of like what Bernice said in one of the verses. It might kind of come along quickly, but hopefully follow here. So before we look at Romans 10, let's take a quick overview, look at, where the text is today. And so Romans is a letter in the New Testament written by Apostle Paul, and it's such a good book with a lot of rich theology. When I was reading through Romans, not only does Paul share rich theology, what I noticed this time is how he beautifully reveals the character of God, also his own heart for God, his seated identity in Christ, and his love for people. So in Romans 1, if you want to open up, I'll go pretty quickly here, but Paul goes straight to sharing about his identity in Christ and also the importance of sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fun fact is that Paul wrote this letter without even meeting the Romans. There's a chapter titled in a section titled in chapter 1, Longing to Go to Rome. Keep this fact in mind when we look at what else Paul says in Romans, that he hasn't even met them yet. He just heard about them. So we'll skip to Romans 8. And if you remember, we recently did a series of this called Blessed Assurance. And the assurance that we have God's child, we are God's child, forgiven and loved. Here, Paul talks about God's love and that we have assurance that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Paul is secure in his identity in Christ and showing us that we can be secure as well. So he says in Romans 8, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, in Romans 9, Paul shows his deep love for others. As Paul talks about his deep love for his Jewish brothers and sisters in verse 1 to 3 and also in verse 10. I can see the longing of Paul's heart for the people in Israel to be saved. He says, "With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief of my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them." Paul literally said that he'd be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. What I'm hearing is that he would give up his seat at the banquet, the seat at the table of God for others to be saved. Remember, he hasn't even met them yet. I'm like, really, Paul? How? Then I realized, maybe the question is actually why. I think the why is important because to understand the why for me, I can better do the how. And so what I'm seeing is Paul's love for others, that he would give up his seat, it comes from this place of deep rootedness in the love of God, that he is seated with God as a co-heir with Christ. His place is secure at the banquet table, and out of that security, he can go out. He can go out and share the good news. It is from a place of being loved that he's able to love so deeply. And that is his invitation to us. So when we start looking at Romans 10, Paul says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." He's speaking about the Israelites here, but we also know his heart for the Gentiles. For scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So why share the good news? Love. Loving our neighbors, Nasser even mentions in his video. And what a great video, right? What a powerful story that he shared with us today. He shared in this video that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbors. And he even says it's a radical command. He mentions it's not just to love other Christians, but human beings. And one way that I can love you is to share my saving faith with you. I'll say that again. He said that one way I can love you is to share my saving faith with you. You okay? Yeah. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear about someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." And here, Paul is actually quoting Isaiah 52:7. It's a hyperlink, and there's many in this chapter, actually. We often use that word, hyperlink. There are many, and in this Isaiah verse, it talks about the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. Messengers in that day ran to bring good news of victory in battle. So feet are used to take us places and deliver the message. In Ephesians 6, it talks about putting on the shoes of peace that comes from the good news. So then I'll read it again. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Brothers and sisters, we have been sent. We have been sent to go and invite others. Invite them to know Jesus. Now, have you ever been in a situation where, you know, you've heard about this great party and someone invited you to it? How'd that make you feel? Now, have you ever been heard of this great event and, you're like, oh, I would love to go to that one, but you were not invited? How'd that make you feel? So this past Christmas, for various reasons, like I said, my family lives in Toronto. I was not able to go home. And holidays are generally hard, especially for single people, and especially when your family's not close. And I've spent many holidays alone since I've traveled a lot and, lived in France for 2.5 years. But this year, I was invited and to spend time with a family who graciously took me in and let me in on all the family traditions. I had a seat at their table, literally, pulled up a seat for me, and I felt so loved by being invited and being welcomed into this family. I came to know Jesus because someone invited me, that they loved me so much that they told me of this good news by family friends who not only invited me, but ultimately invited my parents first and then invited me. And they shared the good news and invited me to be in relationship with Jesus. So now, the how. I think it's in that set of questions as we read in Romans. And I think God has uniquely gifted each and every one of us and has prepared each and every one of us for such a time as this. I can't go into your workplace, but you can. I'm not a student anymore, although I do love to learn, but you are. There are so many opportunities where Jesus is inviting us to step into and to step into those places with him. So I challenge you this morning, start by asking him, Jesus, where have you placed me? What is your invitation to those around me? Today is Mission Sunday. So we can celebrate all the missionaries, and we'll hear a little bit from the missionaries that we support in a video later on as well. And we've been called to go and make disciples of all nations as a full-time vocational call. And so I've been working with Athletes in Action, which is part of Power to Change, for the last 10 years. And so when I hear about, sharing this love with our neighbors, I think globally and our global neighbors. And I've had a blessing to be able to look, kind of oversee and, a burden for the Indian Ocean Islands. I feel that that's where the Lord's called me. So you might be also called to go to a specific place. Maybe the Lord's putting a certain burden on your heart to go to a country of unreached people groups to hear the good news. Maybe it's going on a short-term mission trip, like Adelia. I think you're leaving in a couple of weeks, right? Leaving Wednesday, so pray for her. Maybe it's that. She's going with her school. And there are many organizations that organize short-term mission trips. But the most tangible way right now would be connecting with people here in the local community. And I think I came up here a couple weeks ago to make an announcement of the need in this community. And so Tiana and I are roommates. We live together just down the street. And we've been kind of wanting to connect with our neighbors. And last year we tried community nights where we welcome people into our homes for usually tacos. And we usually host people once a month. Turns out that it wasn't the greatest way to meet our neighbors, but a great way to have community. And there's lots of people who are just in need of community. But we felt like on our heart that God was calling us to meet specifically our neighbors in our strata. Turns out that Teddy, our third roommate, Tana's dog, is a better way of meeting people, where kids love him, they come up to him, say hi every time when we take him out for a walk. And through that, we thought, hey, maybe we can just celebrate the kids. And the first day of school, since September, we had popsicles that we handed out. And through that, we were able to meet the parents. And so now we kind of just sat down and thought about what are some different ways we can connect with the families in our neighborhood. And we thought, maybe we can pray for one family and invite them to dinner. And so next month, we'll be hosting our first family to dinner. And so, yeah, that's just an example of how we can connect with our community. So who are your neighbors? Who are the people at your work? Who are your classmates? Do they know that they can call on the name of the Lord? Are we intentionally sharing the good news of Jesus and inviting people to meet him, to let them know that they have a seat at his table? So I admit, I do struggle with this sometimes, you know, just thinking about Paul's deep love for people, that he would just do all these things for them. And being in ministry for 10 years, I can get caught up in the strategy and in the how and forget about the why. And a couple years ago, I was at a staff conference, a Power to Change. We have it every other year. And after many months of being away in Mauritius and Madagascar for ministry, I can say that I was burned out. And I was like, Lord, why? And I was back home for about a month before going again to Madagascar. And I was invited to share on stage about our ministry there, about, you know, why is AIA in the Lost Islands? And oftentimes the Indian Ocean Islands are called Lost Islands because they're so tiny and nobody's ever heard of them. So I love it that there's a Mauritius flag, so at least you know what the flag looks like. Google it, it's really beautiful. There's Madagascar. We had a trivia a few times ago when I shared. There's Seychelles, Mayotte, Comoros. Do you remember any other? No. Maldives is part of that. And Reunion Island. There's seven there. And so I was invited to share on stage about our ministry. And I didn't think at the time, I was burned down. I was just like, Lord, like, help me. Help me to see the people the way that you see them. And so before sharing, we had a time of corporate worship. And during the Revelation song, we were singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And God revealed this image to me. He was sitting on the throne, because that's in the song, because he's worthy to be praised. And at the same time, he's shown me that he is a God that is with us. He is a relational God. He was showing me that he also sees these lost islands, but they're not lost to him. He knows each of them and every one of them by name. And not only that, he doesn't only see them as countries, but he sees the people in there. He cares for the people who live in these countries, and they are people to him. Then the faces and the names of the people that I'd met in Mauritius and Madagascar start to flash before my mind. Leia, Krishni, Matil, Thomas, Kezia, and many more. God's invitation for me was to continue to love the people that he loves and to see them the way that he sees them. He has put a passion and burden on my heart to share with people in this area of the world and in this neighborhood, Yorkston community. So my question for you today is, what is his invitation to you? God sees your neighbor, coworker, and friend. He has a seat with their name on it. Is God inviting you to invite them? How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.